B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Hi, this is pretty wild, man. For years, Garrison Courtney had convinced people he was not just a federal public affairs officer, but in fact a covert CIA operative.
Wow.
Working on a classified task force.
That's amazing.
The fraud was so compelling that even when it began to unravel, the people he duped stonewalled investigators, federal investigators, convinced that talking about Courtney would betray his secret program. The scheme finally fully collapsed on Friday when he was sentenced to 7 years in prison for a years-long scheme that netted more than $4 million from companies and contractors who thought that they were doing their patriotic duty by supporting him.
Man.
Courtney would approach private companies and tell them he was a covert CIA operative and they needed him. They needed to add him to the payroll to provide off-the-books funding for the classified tax force.
My name is Austin Powers.
He promised the companies that they would be reimbursed for their participation. In all, he racked in more than $4.4 million through his scheme. He kept more than $1 million and used the other funds to pay companies to keep the scheme going. It was apparently like a Ponzi scheme. Numerous public officials were drawn into the scheme to lend it credibility, including high-ranking Drug Enforcement Administration and military officials. Court papers indicate Courtney even sought to persuade the top intelligence official in the Air Force of the legitimacy of his program in a 2016 meeting.
Did no one vet his ID or follow up or confirm with anyone else?
He was very convincing. Ultimately, though,
call my mother. She can verify this.
Courtney did not get away with it. An investigation that coordinated efforts from 10 different federal agencies unraveled the scheme. While Courtney's fraud scheme did pull in more than $4 million, it was derailed before it became even bigger. Prosecutors say that he was on the verge of reeling in $4 billion in funding for his classified project.
Dear God.
Not only that, but so many people in the intelligence communities were duped into believing the program was real that he nearly obtained what is known as a class guide that would have effectively immunized him from prosecution, according to prosecutors.
He was right there. Courtney is really a covert agent, signed Courtney's mother.
Courtney took full responsibility for his conduct, though. He argued for a lighter sentence in part because Courtney had admitted his guilt and spared the government from a difficult jury trial.
Do you wonder if he had gotten to that point with the $4 billion and they discovered it, there'd be so much egg on people's faces, would they just try to bury it?
Yeah, and before Courtney worked at the DEA, he served as a spokesman for Florida Republican Congresswoman Catherine Harris. So he was around legitimate people and managed to convince everybody of this thing. So he's been put away.
That's insane.
An unhappy cable customer who disliked the company's refund policy smashed a cash register with a crowbar and took some money for themselves.
Was it at the cable's business?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Diahiana Sarati, unsatisfied with Spectrum's service, entered one of their locations and demanded her money back. Apparently, she hit the register with a crowbar, yelled at employees, and took some money. Cerati then got into her van and left and went to her home, which was surrounded by deputies who made contact with her by telephone. She came out of the house and was arrested.
So you can't reconcile your cable bill with a crowbar?
No, and apparently you end up with armed robbery charges because you are armed with a crowbar.
All right, good to remember.
What happened. For 5 years, a 32-year-old woman made, Kathy, this is for you, made 42,000 individual returns through 31 different Amazon accounts.
Oh, no.
And it was all a scam. On Tuesday, detectives said they arrested Hawaii Timba. They said between March 2015 and August 2020, she reused prepaid shipping labels created for canceled orders and applied them to other Amazon returns. Detectives said the scheme made it appear Timba paid for her shipping costs on the returns, but she didn't. In the end, they say she received more than $100,000 in reimbursements to her name.
Wait, so were the boxes empty that she was returning?
You know what? I don't know. Officials said all 31 of her Amazon accounts were registered to her name and Tampa address. So
when you return something, they give you a return label. And once it's scanned, you get your refund. Like, they don't wait until they receive the product.
That's why you love them.
Yeah,
it's immediate.
She was arrested without incident. Detective said Timba admitted she conducted the scam and faces a grand theft charge. And Amazon issued a statement which says, in part, Amazon has systems and processes to detect suspicious behavior, and we have teams that investigate and take action quickly. We identified this threat and cooperated with law enforcement to hold this bad actor accountable.
I know a covert agent who could have helped her out.
Right, right, exactly. An iPhone repairman got more than he bargained for after finding a $100 bill and a surprising note inside a device that he was fixing. The technician shared a clip to TikTok showing the shocking note that he found inside the phone cover after a man came in and dropped off his cell phone for what seemed like a routine repair. He wrote, he said, so this customer and his wife came in earlier and they gave me his phone to fix. I was like, all right, give me an hour. I'll finish it for you. Anyway, I came in the back, opened it up, and this is what I found inside. Inside the case was a $100 bill and a note pleading not to fix the phone. The message said, please tell my wife the phone is unfixable. She wants to check the phone history. $100 is yours. Thanks.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah.
The repairman captured the video, unbelievable, and can't believe he did that, and asked his followers, what do you guys think I should do? One person said, keep the 100 and tell her. Another person said, keep the 100 and respect the bro code. So I don't know what he ended up doing, but...
Yeah. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. What would you do? I assume you have to do what the customer asks, right? Yeah.
Well, depends on how bad you want the 100, so yeah. Who knows. For some people, the importance of voting is up there with giving birth. Karen Gonzalez is an employee of the Orange County Supervisor of Elections in Florida, and she says that... She was processing ballots on Tuesday when a man came in with his wife's driver's license and explained that she was outside in the car and wanted to cast her vote. He was told that his wife needed to come inside.
Right.
And then he explained that his wife was in labor at the time and refused to go to the hospital until she could vote. So Gonzalez brought her a mail-in ballot that the woman actually filled out right then and there. And then they headed on to the hospital. So she found it was that important. Election officials say that they are planning to send the woman a onesie reading first vote, as well as some future voter stickers as well.
Follow up to that story. She forgot to sign it, Preston.
Oh, no.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
Police on Tuesday identified the man accused of urinating on a fellow passenger during a Delta flight earlier this month as a pastor from Raleigh.
Right.
A police report says Daniel Chalmers was arrested at the Detroit Metro Airport after the flight landed.
But that's just an alias. I don't want people to know of the incident, and this is why I try to fly in my own private jets.
It's not Kenneth Copeland?
I will answer that later.
All right. So a passenger named Alicia Beverly told police she woke up on the plane around 2:45 a.m.
Could you imagine this?
Find a man urinating on her. Oh, police gross. Said that Beverly alerted the flight crew and the two were separated. When asked what had happened, Beverly reported, "He peed on me." When the man was asked, "What did you do?" he reportedly said, "I peed on her, but I thought I was going to the bathroom." After the plane landed in Detroit, airport police boarded the plane.
Turned off the seatbelt signs, and our in-flight crew will be around to piss on you.
And Beverly told the officers what had happened. Police said the man initially denied her accusations, telling officers, "I'm a pastor. That is out of my character, and I didn't do it.
We don't piss."
When he asked for proof of the woman's allegations, one of the officers told him that the victim's clothing was covered in his urine and that the seat was wet as well. And
everyone around saw it.
And also told the man that he was the only person standing on the aircraft and was observed standing directly over the victim.
Yeah, that's pretty damning evidence.
The officer said in his report he observed a small, visually apparent wet spot in the groin area of his shorts and that he smells of alcohol and his eyes were bloodshot. The man also told police that he was on medication.
I think if you just own it, if you had, this has happened before. It's happened with people that... They're taking medication and they have a drink or two, and it,
yep.
and really wreaks havoc.
An FBI agent later interviewed Chalmers and cited him for simple assault before he was released. Out of Houston, the Harris County District Attorney has filed three charges of intoxication manslaughter and one count of intoxication assault against Camilo Morejon. This is a terrible story. Those charges will be upgraded if the driver of the pickup truck does not survive in this accident. So prosecutors said Morejon was behind the wheel Sunday morning when he crashed his Honda into a black pickup truck. And prosecutors said three passengers in his car were killed, including his girlfriend. The driver of the black pickup truck was sent to the hospital in serious condition. And a Facebook Live video posted on Morejon's account right before the crash of him shows him behind the wheel while drinking. And he says that he drives better when he drinks in the video. So that video was time-stamped at 7:47. The crash was around 7:53. So, I mean, just less than 10 minutes later, crashed, three people dead. One other person might possibly die in this as well. The driver of the pickup is still fighting for his life. If convicted, this guy faces 80 years behind bars. Wow. All right. In Australia, an Outback worker has captured photos of a cow apparently trying to swallow a snake in a bizarre roadside scene.
Let me just get this straight.
Yeah.
The Australian cows attack snakes.
This is what happened. Andrew Gertz, this is in remote northern Australia, came across the bovine snake catcher as he drove on the deserted Sandover Highway. He said, when I got closer, I could see that it was a sand python hanging out of its mouth. He said, I've seen cows with bone and hides. I thought it might have been a bone, so he stopped to take some pictures. Mr. Gertz said he couldn't figure out how the non-venomous snake's head came in to be the cow's mouth, or to be in the cow's mouth. Speculating the cow might have stepped on it or disturbed the snake, then that latched onto its tongue. Natural historian Angus Emmett said that cattle were known to scavenge on dead kangaroos and cattle to supplement their diets, in the red dust of outback Queensland.
Carnivorous cows?
But he had no doubt python sucking was unusual. He said, I've never seen one chew on a snake before. He said the cow might have been chewing on it for both protein and trace elements. He said their body tells them what they need, and then they'll go and chase it down if it's available.
I need meat.
Mr. Gertz said the cow seemed unfazed by its unusual meal and his interest, and it dropped the dead snake and just kind of wandered off.
Man, that outback is brutal.
Yep. Six people were cited after a group of roughly 100 hunters fired into a herd of elk Sunday in Meagher County, Montana.
Was it a culling?
No. And four of the hunters were cited for shooting from the road. One was cited for failure to validate a license. And one was cited for using a license from another district. So this is 100 hunters shooting into a herd. Wow.
That's kind of unfair.
What did you say, Steve?
A culling?
I don't know what that is.
Reducing the herd?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when they do a cull, you go in and you reduce the numbers. And a lot of times it's because vegetation is scarce and it will keep them from starving. So about 50 of the elk in the herd were killed. And there's a weird twist to this as well. One elk remained unclaimed. Two were confiscated from hunters who were cited. Those three elk were donated to local food banks. Officials said there is evidence that other elk were injured during the incident, but they were not recovered. Authorities are unsure how many other elk might have been injured. Now,
that's brutal.
Actually, one of the people in the group died from a heart attack that was unrelated to the hunt. The person's name has not yet been released. Even though they did find most of the hunters were not in violation of the law. They said that hunting ethics and safety guidelines were not followed. These hunting safety rules, such as being,
it's like a firing squad,
sure of your target. Yeah, instead of just randomly firing into a crowd, you need to be sure of your target and beyond, ensuring that a shot on an animal isn't overly obscured, and generally not firing in the general direction of other people. Also, I would think it would cause them to scatter and panic, and they might injure each other.
Sure.
And then you have injured animals running around.
That's why you don't go hunting with a flamethrower.
Yeah, that's true. All right, and then we'll do one more story, and then we'll wrap it up, a short one. A man wielding a machete outside a Burger King was placed into protective custody
by... I wanted my way!
Police Tuesday afternoon. Officers responded to the Burger King, and, sir, you can have it your way. You don't need the machete. It's our slogan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me put this back in the car.
They spent about an hour negotiating with the man to put the machete away. When he was unarmed, they tackled him to the ground and detained him. Authorities determined that he was experiencing a mental health crisis, transported him to the hospital for treatment. No criminal charges were filed and no injuries were reported.
Did he mention anything about their fries?
They did not.
Okay.
I think they make those in peanut oil. I'm not
sure. Is that the deal?
All right. And they taste different, don't
they? They do.
All right, that's what I have in the Bizarre File for you.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.